There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
This is a WTOP original podcast.
Coming up in this episode of Target USA.
Why do so many people support Vladimir Putin in Russia? 87% supposedly voted for him in the last election. We hear on this episode, it's all about the Russian view of democracy.
For Russians, if you say democracy, then democracy for them means something totally different than for people in West.
Eva Ekpajuste is a policy advisor for the Estonian Ministry of Foreign Affairs.
Democracy is the awful time in the beginning of 90s without any rules or the rules of money and close to anarchy. So it's nothing really very positive to them.
So all this talk of democracy from the US and the West, does it fall on deaf ears in Russia?
Coming up on this episode from WTOP in Washington, D.C., this is Target USA. America has a target on its back. And on this program, we investigate the threats, the people behind them, the agencies fighting them, and the impact on you. This is Target USA,
the National Security Podcast.
I'm J.J. Green. Trying to figure out what's going on inside Russia is one of the most difficult things on the planet. Part of it has to do with the amount of corruption that goes on there. The fact that there is rampant disinformation, and it's used as a tool by the Kremlin, essentially to promote its own ideology. And that ideology may change from moment to moment. The trouble is, there's just really no way to know what's true and what's not. But if anybody knows a good deal about what's happening there, it's Eva Ekpajuste. She's a policy advisor at Estonia's Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And I talked with her about this recently.
What are your thoughts about Vladimir Putin getting six more years in power in Russia? What does that mean for Russia, for Estonia, Ukraine, and Europe, and the rest of the world?
I first to say that there is nobody who would say that they really were elections, that of course they were not. And there has been also discussion why Putin at all needed this kind of show around him. But I think that what he needed was to cement his legacy inside and also outside Russia. He did it without any hint of being democratic or being fair or free, but nevertheless, the show was there. And I think that what it means for Russia inside, the picture is quite grim. That what we can predict is that the regime gets more autocratic, and that even the limited type of some freedoms what preserved in Russia, they are going to be limited further. I don't think that inside Russia we can also predict any kind of protest against it. What do we see rather there is that first that the official approval to Putin is huge, but I'm pretty convinced that even in unofficial form it is still pretty big, because people inside Russia simply do not see any alternative to Putin. It was very interesting, was the one of the recent polls of Levada, where the Levada is the is the research center inside Russia who still conducts the conducts polls, and widely they are mostly respected and trusted. And so they also ask the questions from people about the future of Russia. And the tragic picture is that the people inside Russia do not see any future. They just see that it is kind of abortion of future, that today, that tomorrow is today, that there is no difference, that in 30 years, what will happen in 30 years? 30 years, Putin will reign. Well, in human reasoning, it's not possible. Well, it doesn't matter. Then it is another person who is just Putin. So there is no over kind of, there is no vision that there is a way out of the situation what is at hand today. As for outside, I think that this year will be crucial in the sense of Russian war in Ukraine. And I think that the so-called elections give Putin all the means and all the freedom he needs to really make a big effort to win this war.
You talked about the Levada poll inside Russia, taking a look at the future. And curiously, one of the things that has been circulating since late last year, and as ridiculous as this may sound to folks like you who follow very carefully and closely what's going on in Russia, there are those who are proposing that Vladimir Putin died last October. And, you know, that to me just doesn't seem plausible. But, you know, in speaking with you recently, you said something very interesting about whether this is true or not. What are your thoughts about that situation?
Well, what I told you then is that really, honestly, I do not care. I mean that Putin has, or he, how to say it, that Putin, if his legacy is alive and if he is alive in public, then there's no really difference whether it is this Putin or some other Putin who is in picture, because he is kept alive, because it is his legacy. So he's needed, and he is strong enough to be in power in this form. So I do think that actually the relation of Putin with his society, that they are very tight, and they are also a bit complicated, because if you see that what Putin is kind of personalizing, he's personalizing the great Russia thinking and the great Derzhava. And we can't say that he's alone. I think that rather his impersonalization of something very deep in Russian society and something very deep in Russian mind. That for Russians, if you say democracy, then democracy for them means something totally different than for people in West. Democracy is the awful time in the beginning of 90s without any rules or the rules of money and close to anarchy. So it's nothing really very positive to them. And coming through all the humiliation they thought they had in 90s and early 2000s, then the rhetoric, what has very much resonated in Russian society, is that it is Putin who went to restore the Derzhava, the military power of Russia, and to heal all the humiliations. And I think that this has pretty good resonation in the whole society, that the only pride that they have is twofold. It is first, it is root power, root military power, and second, it is that they are different from the West, that what is Geiropa, how they say it, like the rotten West, where just same-sex marriages mean that it will be extinct in some time, and yeah. It is just a true Christian values they preserve in Russia. Mm-hmm.
Ava, I know that you spend quite a bit of time traveling in your role with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and you get a chance to gauge what people are thinking. I want to ask you a question in a minute about what people are thinking about the West based on what you hear. But first, just very quickly, I want to ask you again about Putin. Do you have any idea or thoughts about whether these reports about him possibly being dead or is there any truth at all to them based on what you know?
I don't know. I mean that there has been, you know better than me, how many different theories there are, starting from a comparison of a shape of his ears and so on. So I do not know, but when it is necessary that he is alive, it means that he is alive. Whether it is this Putin, I don't really care, because it is the Putin.
Yeah, gotcha. We'll move on from that and not come back to that. Traveling, talking to people in other places. One of the problems, as you mentioned, this Russian or Putin or Kremlin view of the West is what they call gay ropa. You know, there is also this view of the West not being very intelligent, not being very together or cohesive when it comes to countering it, fighting back against Russian aggression. What is the Global South saying? What are other people from other places saying about what's happening in the West?
Well, I can see that what has been my impression and my experience and it is the really the quite widespread conviction that West is very weak, quarreling between themselves, not being convinced the core. Core democratic values themselves, and thus that the rate of hypocrisy is overwhelming. So the mistrust, and even I would say what I can feel in some countries, even hatred, is quite astonishing. So I do think that we really need to talk much more and to really to turn attention to what is said about us. But I also think that it is very important that we talk much more among ourselves, and that we really turn attention to what impression it is, what we leave like outside to leave to other region of globe, because at the moment this picture is not nice, and if we ourselves are not really convinced in what we say, then I think that it is better to say less, but to show with actions that in what do we believe.
Ava, why do you think people from these nations are saying the things that they're saying about the West? What gives them the reason to do that? Is it possibly propaganda? Is it possibly just that much dislike for people in the West?
I think that there are roots in many, many different places. And when we speak, for instance, about Russia, then they are convinced that, I mean, if for instance to say that the elections in Russia were neither fair nor free, they say that what's the difference? You do the same, Just look at the last elections in the US. They were rigged. So, but you still play some kind of democracy. If we speak with, for instance, people from India, then to some extent it is deep hatred toward colonialism and toward the colonistic period, and feeling that it's not healed, that the West is obliged to far more to get over it. If we come closer, then the recent conflict in Gaza has just provoked a new wave in saying that West is just hypocritical. That when it comes to Ukraine, then we say about sufferings of people. If we come to Gaza, then even if it is more and more on the table, then we are accused that we do not turn attention to horrible sufferings in Gaza to the same extent as we do the sufferings in Ukraine. So it is on many, there are many routes, but I would say that that most of them go back far to history. And I think that we should know our history far better than we do at the moment to just understand where it comes from. And if we understand the roots, it's far easier to understand and to heal it.
Right. Before we go, taking a look at the positive side of things, there are some positive and some good things happening. I know Estonia is involved in a number of things, along with your Baltic neighbors, to, shall we say, not just help Ukraine, help Eastern Europe, help the Baltics, but help the world. And a lot of that has to do with continuing dialogues with your partners, and continuing to do concrete measures to help struggling countries like Ukraine, maybe Moldova and others as well, who are under threat of Russian aggression. What are your thoughts right now about some of the things that are taking place in Estonia and beyond that we should focus on, and the West should get on board and try to assist and to help with?
As I said before, I think actually that this year is somehow crucial. And if it is crucial in Ukraine, it means that it is crucial for not only Europe, but actually for the whole democratic world. And in this sense, I think that it is quite useless to have endless discussions between ourselves, that where should we limit ourselves, or where should we draw our red lines, or is some actions escalatory or not. Honestly, when adversary is not having any red lines and is not having any limitations, then why should we artificially pose them without even being asked for them? So I do think that instead of having some highly theoretical, although intellectually interesting discussions, we should turn our pockets upside down, get out all the money we can get, and send all the weapons to Ukraine, what we only can. And it is something that can indeed change the world's history.
Is there anything, Ava, that you'd like to add that I haven't asked you about that you think is important?
I do think that I sounded very gloomy about Russia, and I mean I don't want to hurt really the feelings of all the liberal Democrats in and outside Russia who do the best to fight for their countries, better future. But what I just want to say at the moment is that I can't see really in Russia at the moment that there is any civil society left. That what I see is that there are till now very honorable, very honest and very respectful persons who show their individual protest against what is happening. But I can't see, at least at the moment, any kind of organized resistance.
Eva Ekpajuste, a policy advisor in the Estonian Ministry of Foreign Affairs. She said her views are her own and not those of the ministry. That's it for this episode of Target USA. Coming up in our next episode, whether it's Russia's war in Ukraine, the situation in Gaza, terrorism, anarchists, cyber criminals, or hostile nation states, we'll bring you the top story. That's coming up on the next episode of Target USA. In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments about the program, send me an email. You can reach me at jgreen@wtop.com. The letter J, the color green, one word, at Whiskey Tango Oscar Papa. jgreen@wtop.com. Also, please subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Twitter. We're at TUSA Podcast. That's at Tango Uniform Sierra Alpha Podcast. And if you want more national security news, you can sign up for my newsletter. It's called Inside the Skiff, and you can sign up at WTOP.com/email.
I'm JJ Green, and this is Target USA,
the National Security Podcast.